What was that?
Show us your pink bits!
No, I don't think I will. Now, do you know why this microphone has such a long cord?
Right.
So it's easily retrieved after I've shoved it up your ass.
The following program is intended for mature audiences only. It contains realism, truth, and opinion. Nothing you would ever want your children finding out, because then they'd accuse you of being a spineless brainwasher. You must be over 18 to listen to this broadcast. Consider yourself warned.
I had a dream.
It's still the biggest and best. It's the Fabulous D Show.
Never ends, does it?
Quando.
All that space.
Oh, God. While you have something in your mouth, let me get a word in.
Okay. Sorry.
Chicken! Go get the chicken.
You bring this out of me.
You never start saying, who did they suck off? Look at that.
I am a fantastic dancer. I'm not ringing my own bell.
The Fabulous D, the Artist D, a template for talented energy. Some say superstar and others just say, holy moly!
The day I grab my crotch, it'll mean it's falling off.
Yeah, I'd stay away from him. That's dangerous stuff right there. I'd put some distance between me and him if I were you.
Five piercings through her lips and 10 piercings through each ear, and her eyebrows were done and her nose was done, all sorts was done, and I couldn't exactly chicken out.
Oh, that sounds fun!
Good God.
Jesus Christ. Don't white supremacists claim to be trying to save the white race because that's Jesus and God, right? Aren't they? Isn't that what it's all about?
Right. Oh, exactly.
Well, it's, well, how nuts is that?
It's ridiculous.
Hello.
I've been in bed with Dee and it was so good.
Hello.
Can I say that on here?
Watch out, here I come.
Bushed, beached, baffled, beaten down. It's the Fabulous D Show on Wild Bunch Radio. I am the Artist D, and that is the Vanilla Child over there.
Hey, hey.
Hi, hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm beached, bushed, and baffled and beat.
and
any more bees that I can think of?
I was just going to say that. Any more bees?
Well, not bitchy yet, but we have just begun.
So. Yeah, bitchy wouldn't be good.
Yeah, I could be bloated. That could be.
I'm add that to my list.
Okay, all right, and you're the same, beached, bushed,
yeah,
beat, baffled, bitchy,
yeah,
bloated.
Well, not quite bitchy yet.
Not yet.
A little bitchy last night till the end of the night.
I know, big night last night.
It was huge.
Huge.
It was
a Tonizzi debut, I heard, performing.
Yeah,
live.
His first performance by himself. He did really well.
It looked,
I'm very
I
proud
saw
of
the
it.
Pictures. He looked very professional as far as, and, you know, rappers look professional.
Well, he seemed very natural at it. Like, he didn't seem scared or nervous at all.
Very good, because he had a big crowd.
He did, and it was kind of cool because they all came to see him, and pretty much when he was done, they bounced, which I felt bad for, you know, the headliner.
Yeah. Really? Wow. That's.
Which I think, you know, if he would have been smart and he wanted people to stick around, he should have put Tone on right before him, because he knew that most of the kids there were there to see him.
That's pretty exciting. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Tonizzi, Vanilla Child's rapping son. Had his,
yes,
first show last night.
My son is amazing.
Apparently.
He is.
And you can get his mixtape through Vanilla Child's Facebook. So go to facebook.com and find me and everything. You can get that through theartistd.com.
I finally got a URL on Facebook.
This is true. So you're now facebook.com what? Slash what?
It's vanilla.
It's vanilla. Just like it's just, Omni. Yes.
Yes. I did that to maintain continuity because I or whatever the word is.
That's the word.
Is that what I'm looking for?
I think so.
Yeah. Just to make it easier because the URLs that I wanted were taken.
Of course. That's why you can find me at facebook.com/itsomni and you can find vanilla at facebook.com/itsvanilla. Which is
right.
Pretty
and
good.
And if you want to chuckle, check out facebook.com/vanillachild.
Really?
Did I not send you the link?
I don't know. Let's see.
It's like a grandma. It's an old black lady.
Oh, that's awesome. Right. It's Vanilla Child. Yeah, that's right.
She's awesome.
I did see that the other day. That's funny.
I got a good chuckle out of that when I saw it.
And grab your fathers and bring them into wildbunchchat.com.
So we can bash them.
Exactly. Whether you like them or not. Because everyone's running around, you know, worshiping dad. And I need to do the opposite, because nobody talks about how horrible a lot of them are. Of course.
That's true.
There are exceptions and exemptions, but
they're few and far between.
They really are. And the way we worship these people, and most of them are just horrendous.
But that's true.
So I'm tired.
I'm tired too. Yesterday was just exhausting. I was up since Friday morning getting ready for the graduation party yesterday. I spent all Friday night cooking and then the show last night. So we pretty much cleaned up, came home, unloaded, and went right to the show. I'm exhausted.
That is.
Next thing I knew, it was 6 in the morning and I was getting to sleep.
Quite the weekend. And I'm coming off of a 14-day work week.
That's insane.
Did not get much rest. So I think today my body was like, oh, hey, vacation. Yeah, let's just don't move. Don't fucking move.
Kind of how mine feels. The muscles are a little sore.
Yeah, and that's why I'm walking around this morning wondering why I'm weak and not into it. And I took a nap in the afternoon and I still felt like crap. But I guess that's why, because I was kind of, you know, overworked.
Your body needed it.
Mm-hmm. You just never know, because bodies are so wonderful, usually, that they just work for you when you need them to work for you.
That's true. That is so true. I kept thinking that last night as I was, you know, doing everything. I'm like, wow, I'm amazed I still have the energy to keep going.
Exactly.
But I did. It knew when I was done.
And it unplugged immediately.
Yes, it did.
and it's hot out. It is so hot out.
Oh, it's hot as my favorite quote. It's hot as balls.
Yeah, and look who's in wildbunchchat.com. Zoe Balls.
Mama Bear.
Yes. Zoe has joined us in wildbunchchat.com. Come in and join us too, and you know, bring Dad.
Hi, Zoe.
So it's Father's Day, and we're celebrating bad fathers on the Fabulous D Show. And while others are celebrating dear old dad, we're going to celebrate true assholes. Since most of
them. You know
what
I think is funny, though?
What?
So many young girls today get pregnant to these deadbeat assholes, and they worship the hell out of them all year long. Why?
It's true.
They're not worth it.
That is what this show is all about, is the psychological edge of this entire thing, because dad is usually a horrible, horrible creature. And then
I was blessed.
Exactly.
I had best of both worlds. I had one, my real dad was on heroin my whole life, most of it. And, but I had my grandfather and my stepdad who were amazing and wonderful.
Mine was not an asshole either.
No, yours was pretty cool too.
Yeah, it was fine. So I can understand the good dad, but there does seem to be, it's like this Christmas psychology that you just have to, no matter how bad he is, oh, it's his day. Let's take him out so he can grouch and gripe.
Yeah. Right. Never be happy.
Yes, because mine was a good man, they say. And it's true. But then, you know, not everyone had one. And like someone pointed out on Facebook. Let me, what does Zoe say? Put my tongue back in my mouth or something. Google seems to be reminding everybody to call dad underneath the call phone option on Google Chat. What if you can't call your dad? What if you don't want to call your dad? Perhaps he's dead or he's deadbeat. Just something about this holiday on Google has irked this listener off. As they say on Facebook.
Aww.
Yeah. So, exactly.
Somebody doesn't like the dad.
Well, and I love their little, you know, today, the tie. You always got to get dad a tie. And Google's graphic is a tie.
Oh, I know. Farmville is giving out tie trees.
Oh, my God.
For dad, they call it the father's tree because ties represent dad, right?
Why?
They should have a bunch of dads hanging from it by their little neck.
Yeah, put some dads hanging from neckties on the tree.
Yeah, even better. That would be awesome. That would be more appropriate, much more appropriate.
It would, because that's usually, maybe that's why they get dad neckties, because they hope he hangs himself.
Maybe. That's some good thinking right there. Some good psychology.
It is. And I don't know why anyone would want a tie. I have never worn a tie happily in my life, except when I was doing the slutty schoolgirl look. That's okay.
Oh, yeah, I don't know any man that has.
Right, but the traditional man with the tie and choking and Jesus, where did that come from?
That is a little weird now that you say that.
Well, it makes no sense, and I think I was discussing this with Neff the other day that it was probably some pilgrim type of invention to hold clothes together at that area, kind of like a belt for the neck.
Right.
And we still do it because everyone's just used to doing it. Kind of like Father's Day. Everyone just does it because it just does it. And Frankie D is in the chat. And a happy Father's Day to Frankie D because he's fabulous. A fabulous father.
He is. And Chris is there as well. And
Chris is there with his back.
With his sexy back.
Chris is back. Oh. How about that?
So he says.
Exactly. And then last
sexy time, back brought sexy back.
Oh, you.
Let me not blow his head off.
I was about to start singing, but I won't. Yeah.
Done.
Just done. Done. And then, quite coincidentally, we watched a movie last night with Robin Williams called, what, The Greatest Dad or something? World's Greatest Dad. And that was interesting. Because you didn't know if you should laugh or cry. Or take it seriously.
They probably wanted you to do both.
Probably. I mean, it was very complex. Because, and the description sounded funny. That he has this son who accidentally kills himself. So he writes the suicide note. Robin Williams is the dad. Writes the suicide note because he's a failed writer. And he becomes famous because he wrote the kid's suicide note and then later published his journal, which was not the kid's journal. He wrote the kid's journal. And then at the end of the movie, you know, he's like, he comes clean. But
weird.
The kid kills himself by asphyxiating himself while masturbating.
Oh, God.
And it's just kind of funny. And the kid is a total douchebag. And, like, no one liked him at all. And he was mean to everybody, which is why, you know, Robin Williams writes this note, then he writes the journals, and everyone's like worshiping the memory of this kid. And that was a statement too, that you can be as much of a douchebag, but when you're dead, someone will rewrite your history and they will make you one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly, which is my point with the kids ODing.
Yes.
So, like, they're not that great of kids to begin with, you know, or they've been neglected or whatever the problem is, and then they go and kill themselves, and everybody worships them.
Yes.
Everybody's on their Facebook talking about, we didn't get along, but I'm going to miss you.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, you're going to miss them wanting to kick your ass every day. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Something did come to mind, but it's slipped my mind now, but... Something along those lines. We just, oh, it's the fathers, the dead fathers. That too, you know, your father's a jackass, then he dies. And you just angel-fy him. It's like they're angels to these people. Or the father you didn't even know. Because he died, like, when you were 4 or something. And you just, you totally push him into sainthood because you think... You've heard good things about him. He never, you don't know him. He never raised you. He died before you were.
If he was such a great
conscious.
Father, he wouldn't have died. When
that's
you were 4.
Just, that's horrible. But, you know, because some so things are out of their hands, really. But it reminds me of my grandfather, who died when I was about 3 or 4. And throughout my childhood and teenage life, I absolutely immortalized the man because I heard nothing but good things about him. And, you know, good man, but what if I would have thought about him if he was alive? Who knows? And too
True.
Many people
do that.
Did you
ever undercover or uncover a dark side?
I did uncover a dark side later when I exited the closet and was told by several family members that my grandfather would have indeed hated me. And that came as quite a shock to me at the time because, you know, I had plucked him out and put wings on him. So I had to really think about that, and that realization helped me to realize that a lot of people do this.
But do you really think that he would have hated you, or do you think that's just their way of saying that they aren't really quite as accepting as they seem to be on the surface, so they're laying it on Grandpa?
Yeah, the latter. I think he would have been fine.
I think he probably would have been, too. Most grandparents,
well,
you know.
And seeing most people's judgments and perceptions of what other people are going to think of you. I mean, that's what keeps kids in the closet is everyone's going to hate you. Then you come out and everyone's like, big fucking deal. No big deal. So,
but the dead guy would have hated you.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody else is okay with it. But the dead guy, yeah. Mm.
He would not have been so cool. He's rolling over in his grave right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And
it's probably doing cartwheels because you're so fabulous.
Most likely. I mean, I got off the farm, for God's sakes. That's something.
Right?
I'm sure.
In the middle of every fucking where?
Every fucking where and doing every fucking thing. And I'm on the radio around the world.
That's right.
And it's just good to have a friendly voice on the radio, I would think.
It is.
I was listening to Frankie D, I think, just last night on his Rainbow Mix Radio / Midnight Special. And it was just nice. That's what I like. I like people just talking to me. And that makes me feel so involved and loved when they just say hi out there on the radio.
It's
and
very
it's just
soothing.
Somebody out there just talking away and someone happens to be listening and they're just happy to hear.
That's true.
Yes, we've got Chris showing off his new tatted back in wildbunchchat.com.
I see that.
Yes, it wasn't it a wolf or something?
Clicky.
Yeah, I think it's a wolf. But Father's Day has always perplexed me, because when you think about fathers, it's really kind of strange that the arrogant prick who mistreated you your entire life, after you're grown, you take Dad to dinner, he whines and complains and bitches, then you take him back to the home, as in the retirement home, until Christmas. And what are fathers so damn pissed off about? Because they're cranky.
Probably that they got mom knocked up.
I think so. That was the beginning of my thought here, is that they fucked. They had you. Then they had to support you. And
well, not that they had to support you, but you're taking away from their time and attention.
This is true. And that would make me
taking away from their sex.
There's that as well.
That's what most of it comes down to, isn't it?
Well, and I think they're probably angry that they were raised to believe that this is the way that they had to go or go about business, is you know, they had to settle down, first of all, and very few men want to settle down.
Or grow up.
And then, you know, convince one woman, and only one woman, that you love and will want to be with them forever. That doesn't come naturally, very easily. And of course, since men think so hormonally, they pick, you know, the winner, the beautiful, voluptuous, blonde.
Yep.
And then she turns into, you know, Betty White.
The not-so-voluptuous mom. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. The not-so-voluptuous.
Because kids ruin our bodies.
Exactly. And that's that. And he kind of caused that because he made the woman pregnant. So
yep.
He made her into what she becomes, because if it wasn't for her and it wasn't for him, he'd be fucking like rabbits, and she would never have gotten saggy tits and...
That's right.
Pockmark ass and all that business.
Kids really do change things.
Indeed they do. And dads are like these leave it to beaver, work, 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 drink, sleep, go to the titty bar, work, work some more. They have good reason to be bitter and unhappy, I think.
Mm-hmm. I would think. Especially when they're out there fucking multiple women, getting them all knocked up, having to pay multiple child supports.
Then there's that.
I think that's a lot of the problem today, is the child support system has gotten more strict. Mm. And, you know, more women rely on the system for help. Well, there's more single moms, too. Obviously.
True. And because now fathers aren't expected to be stuck, which does help the father, although that doesn't help the situation, because they're still convinced to go forth,
right.
Multiply. Instead, we could just let them, you know, have fun. If you're a man, just have fun. You don't have to settle down. You can have sex and die.
Wear condoms,
preferably.
Just don't have babies.
Or better yet, have gay sex. Just... My personal opinion.
That would open up a lot of doors for a lot of people.
It really would. It really would. Not that, you know, that's only preventing one disease, and that would be the disease of children, because apparently some of these fathers think children are a disease.
Well, some of them are.
Definitely. Look at the children out there.
And it, you know, it all depends who you have them to, too. I mean, these guys, like you said, they go for the prize, which isn't always a prize later on.
Exactly. And then we have children, and we raise them. The father raises them, and then they grow up to act just like the prick of a father that they had. Although it should be kind of staggered, I think. You know, one prick, one nice guy. Then the nice guy has a prick. Then the prick has a nice guy. Because you're usually the opposite of whatever your parents are.
I think that it does work like that, because I have 6 prick little brothers. No, they're not all pricks.
So they'll all have lovely children.
Actually, out of all of them, about half of them can be, but only one of them has children, and one has one on the way. It's funny, the first one to get married is the second to youngest.
That is.
He's 20. Got married last year.
But at least the rest of them, you know, they're just not fitting into that stereotype. That's good.
They don't even have girlfriends. They don't want them.
That works. That works.
But they're not gay. I mean, they like girls. Yeah. They see the drama.
At least they're smart enough not to get caught up into that.
Yeah, they want no parts of that. They are pretty smart where that's concerned. But one of them is going through the baby mama drama and has the baby mom that thinks he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, that's an easy perception to have.
And surprisingly, then, he's a pretty good dad, but it has turned him into a prick. Now he feels entitled. He feels like, you know, because he's a parent now, like he's smarter than everybody. He knows more. And now he can lecture, and it's kind of annoying.
And then
but he's a good dad.
And they grow up. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And then they grow up to be, you know, the breadwinner. And excuse me while I throw up at that phrase, breadwinner. Oh, it's so societal. Bread.
Because all we live off of is bread.
Exactly. So they grow up to
why
win bread.
Why we're so goddamn fat.
That too.
All them carbs.
That's about as interesting as it gets for some fathers. They win bread. That's it. They find the one. They get it pregnant. Then they have to pay for it. Forever. No wonder they're cranky old men sitting at some, you know, Marie Callender's restaurant Do you have those over there? Marie Callender's, the actual restaurant, not just the freezer section, but the restaurant.
I didn't know they actually had restaurants.
Yeah, I don't seem to recall East Coast having a Marie Callender's. But yeah, they have restaurants, and they are like, what was that one? Friendlies? I believe you have Friendlies?
Yes, we have Friendlies.
Yes, yes. And you go there, and Perkins, and what do you see? Like, it's like geriatric convention 2011.
Oh, God.
It's horrible.
No, thank you.
Especially Marie Callender's. And only old people would like this food. It reminds me of grandmother's cooking, but, like, not good cooking. They just serve exactly like they have in the freezer section of, you know,
I was just going to say, do they actually serve you what is in the freezer section? Just heat it up and serve it? I mean,
kind of, but no. No, they actually cook it gourmet style, kind of. Plate
kind
of food.
Of.
So it's not exactly, it doesn't come out in the microwavable tray. Like,
I learned early on in life that kind of just doesn't cut it.
Well, and it always tastes absolutely atrocious to me. Nothing there tastes good, because it's your good old-fashioned cuisine of meatloaf with a little gravy on it. It's like cafeteria food.
Ugh.
But, like, you know, and I'd much prefer Perkins. They have, like, real, I don't know, I just don't dig that whole down-home American cooking where you get the baked potato with nothing in it, and the side
of vegetables. I don't
either.
Why do you want to go out to eat that?
Exactly.
When you
and
can just stay home and cook that.
Lines and lines of old people out of this restaurant. And they just, that's all they eat is the potato and the meatloaf. And they have mac and cheese. Or not the good kind, like the ones that are on after our show. But the bad kind. And of course, they're more known for their pies. Because, you know, Marie Callender's pies. Their pies are okay. The pies are good, but you can go in and just buy a pie and leave a fresh baked pie. But no, they want to go in and have a slice of pie. Yeah, it's just disgusting.
Well, I guess I can kind of see, having spent so much time with my nanny. You know, she works, so she doesn't want to come home and cook. She cooks for old people, some of them younger than her, which is weird. That dynamic.
Young old people, yes.
Yeah, because she works in an old folks' home. Mm-hmm. So literally, some of her residents are younger than her.
Yes.
And she's cooking for them all the same type of food that you're talking about. And she brings it home. But, I mean, I could see you're old. You don't want to cook for yourself. You
True.
Don't have anyone to cook for you anymore. And you don't have anyone to cook for. So what's the point of making a big, huge meal?
It's probably the statement.
They would be the type who want the home-cooked meal.
Exactly. And it's probably some grand comparison here that we're missing of, like, what they felt was good restaurant cooking back then as compared to what we would prefer to eat now.
That's true.
Cause
they probably think what we eat today is crazy.
Probably. I mean, I want to go, if I'm going to just hog wild it, I want Chili's, I want the chips and the cheese sauce and the Baconator burgers and the wings covered in gazillion layers of fattening sauce, dipped then further into the blue cheese or the ranch. That's what I think about when I want to go out to eat. I don't want to go out and get a slab of meatloaf and a potato for $25. I want that shit to be slathered in something and really, really horrible. But yet they probably find Marie Callender's to be, and Perkins and Friendlies and Bonanza and all that. They probably think that's just fantastic.
Probably.
It's a statement.
But I really do think most of it has to do with, you know, just food preferences. We're young enough to cook for ourselves, that kind of shit. So we won't go out and we want things that we don't normally have at home or can't normally make at home.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And they're at that point in their life where they want the stuff that they used to make at home and can't make anymore.
It's true. It's true. So. I don't know. At least go to a good Italian place. Get a lasagna. Get a plate.
Yeah, there's not many of them left, though.
That's the kind of stuff that, if you're going to eat regular food out, that's the kind of food it should be. Italian.
Olive Garden kind of blew all the real Italian restaurants.
Oh my God, I hate Olive Garden. It's like Applebee's.
It is, and Fuddruckers and all that bullshit.
I have never been into a Fuddrucker.
Me either, have no desire.
They do burgers, right?
Yeah, big, huge, ugly-ass piles of meat.
I may have had one when one opened up on my street in the middle of everywhere, and just to try it, I think it was a Fuddrucker, but I was not interested. It was not good. It was not the type of burger that I want.
Yeah, I'm not into it either.
And
I'd rather go out to a bar type restaurant.
Yeah, and then the Italian that like Olive Garden. People who think Olive Garden is Italian. Ugh. Blech.
I know.
Blech. Horrible. Well, it's like kind of like Applebee's when you go there and you want a martini, they'll give you this watered down thing with a shot of vodka in it. It's like 90% water, 10% vodka.
And charge you $10 for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Their cocktails are ridiculously expensive. Ridic.
That's insane.
I know. Apparently Zoe in WildBunchChat.com won a duck once. Like a live
she
duck.
She won a duck?
Like she was expected to cook it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, apparently when it was live. But, yeah. Did she... We need to find out. She didn't finish the story. Did she cook it? Did she do it herself?
Know.
Did she have to pull out the feathers?
All she said was she loves crispy roast duck.
Exactly. So I imagine that duck that she won got cooked. But the question is, who cooked Zoe's goose?
Because Zoe cooked the duck.
And yeah, Frankie D, that's exactly right. Hospital food. That's what that reminds me of. That.
Yeah.
They might as well be giving you a little bowl of Jell-O. And, oh, my God. But, yeah, and that's always the way it is in there, you know, like booths and booths full of geriatrics. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they're just...
Well.
It's like a, you know, moths to a flame. Same with Denny's. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I love Denny's. Well, back in the day,
yeah.
I used to love Denny's. I don't think I've eaten at a Denny's since I stopped eating that sort of capacity of food.
I haven't eaten at Denny's in a very long time. They give way too much food.
They do. That's why I liked it, because, you know, I was interested in shoveling. Yeah.
Yeah. Not me. I could never eat there without throwing up afterwards because I ate too much.
So pleased with their burgers that just never seemed to end, and the piles of fries, and that's exciting.
Stacks of pancakes.
Stacks. Yes. It's like the IHOP. That's another old person's paradise. IHOP.
Waffle House.
Yes.
Yes, breakfast. I know that because Nanny is always wanting her eggs. She'll want to go to Denny's or Bob Evans at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and get eggs. God forbid we actually eat eggs for breakfast.
Bob Evans. There's another one.
Well, it's one of the few places around here you can actually get breakfast in the middle of the day anymore.
Yes. Yes. I don't think I ever ate at one, but it just holds this stigma in my mind of just not fun. No bueno.
I worked at one for 2 days and it wasn't fun. It grossed me out. So, I never went back.
Okay. Oh, here's the story of the duck. She said, no, she did not cook it. She won it at a French country fair. The family they were staying with built a run for the duck and bred from it. Ate the eggs. Oh, so they ate the eggs of her duck. So, she won a duck and I guess kind of left it on the farm to breed eggs.
That's awesome.
Did she name the duck?
Well, I don't know. She needs to tell us.
Exactly. And of course, like any dumb American, I called a duck a goose. I know the difference. But it didn't sound as funny who cooked Zoe's duck. I mean, it does sound funny after all.
does.
That's the next bumper sticker release from theartisty.com. Who cooked Zoe's duck? Tune in to find out. Every week on the Fabulous D Show. So we could talk about dads and men who are dads and boys who may someday be dads. Because I've got some news stories for us.
Really?
And to kick it off, the perfect Father's Day story. Man killed dad, then called 911 and admitted it.
Oh.
Stephen Coles...
At least he owned up to it.
Dabbed. At least. Stabbed his 69-year-old father to death in the family's Arlington Heights home, then dialed 911 and told the police what he'd done. He said, "I fucking put a knife in him, and I killed him." Cole is heard saying in a recording of the 911 call authorities say he made late Monday, minutes after killing his dad. Stephen Cole, who has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, pounced on his father as the older man relaxed on a couch in his family room. I wonder what he was watching. Prosecutors said Wednesday, as Cole made his first appearance in court, charged with first-degree murder. In the 911 call released Wednesday night, Cole repeatedly tells a startled dispatcher that he's killed his father. "I just killed him. I fucking killed him. I fucking put a knife in him," Cole says at one point during the 3.5-minute-long call. "He's dead. He's dead right now."
Wow.
Better than being dead, you know. Previously, the 41-year-old Cole also claimed several times during the call that he had been physically abused by his dad. Remember, he's 41 years old now. Cole repeatedly interrupted at court the proceedings to make similar claims he had been mentally and physically abused by his father, but still cared for him. "I love my father and my family," said Cole, who wore a green hospital gown and yellow socks during the hearing. Hmm, really? Didn't know they let you do that.
Apparently they do.
Prosecutors in Arlington Heights police said there were no indications that the elder Cole, who weighed about 175 pounds, had ever been abused by his 225-pound son, a one-time martial arts fighter. The defendant did not feel that his father appreciated the defendant or the things that the defendant felt he did for his family, the attorney said. Stuart Cole was found dead on the floor of a lower-level family room, but he apparently was attacked first as he rested on a nearby couch. Blood patterns indicated that the victim initially was attacked as he lay on the couch. A bloody knife was found under a stove in the house. An autopsy found that Stuart Cole had been stabbed 4 times in the chest and suffered cuts to his face and head, as well as numerous defensive wounds found on his hands, indicating he tried to protect himself. The elder Cole also had been severely beaten, possibly with a bloody wrench found near his body. Cole, who was involuntarily committed to a psychiatric unit last October, had moved back to his parents' Arlington Heights home in January. He previously had attacked his father, including one time in 2000, while police officers were at the family home, and had threatened at other times to kill his father and others. Judge Kay Hanlon set bail for $1 million, and Cole remains in jail. It's fabulous how they say there are no indications that the father had abused the son. Trust me, this was not some random bipolar incident with a bloody wrench. The father did do something, surely.
He had to. I don't know. I'm bipolar, though, and I get annoyed with people sometimes. They don't even do anything, so maybe it was just one of those things where he was doing something that was just getting on his damn nerves.
Could have been.
And he snapped. I mean, because bipolar is some serious shit. Maybe he wasn't taking his meds or something.
Well, and knowing people with daddy complexes, it makes perfect sense to me. You know, well, the son...
I
hope the son will take some sort of something away from that. I mean, he's going to rot the rest of his days in the loony bin or penitentiary. So I hope it was worth it.
I hope so, too.
I mean, he must have been really... I'm sure he was in quite the spot. 41 years old, back living with his parents. He was not happy. And there's Dad. No. Dad, probably, saying, "You fuck up, loser."
Well, if anything, yeah, that would probably be the extent of it, because a lot of people don't understand bipolar people when they're going through their mood swings.
Nor do they understand how what happened to you as a child would easily build up
Or that.
You know, because they say no abuse.
In the bipolar.
Hell, he could have done something at like age 6. And it just followed him for the next 40 some years.
That's true.
Is that good? No. Should you do that? No. Should you let that shit follow you around? No. We should not let that shit follow us around. May this be the lesson. Don't get all hung up on shit. You're raised. Get over it.
People hold grudges.
This is true. Or, oh my God, you know, he's probably the nicest father on the planet, feeling sorry for his son, letting him back in to the house to stay because he's on his ass. And then he just flips out. And dad's thinking, oh, shit. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that could very well be it. He just, nice dad. I mean, he had to be nice to let him back in the house if you've tried to assault him before.
And especially if he's threatened him before. That's really bad. You know, if somebody numerous times threatens to kill you, you probably should just go with it and not have them hanging around so much.
Right.
I know you're thinking, oh, it's my son. It's my flesh and blood. Unfortunately, that's not how it works.
No, but if your flesh and blood were, you know, to kill anybody, I would think that the best person would be you, because then at least you didn't create anything that killed something else or someone else.
I suppose. Yeah, yeah. The father, I'm thinking of some Law and Order episode, I can imagine the heartbroken father who's created a killer. Thinks, oh God, what have I done? And I guess if you are a good father, you probably think, oh, well, I guess I had this coming. At least he's taking me and not the rest of the world.
Right.
Although that's not how I would feel, but
I no, me either.
Fucking get out of
I'd
my
fight
house.
Back.
Yes. Yes. And,
yeah,
and what
that kid
the
would
father,
be on the floor.
What the father I'm must sure have been thinking while he was defending himself with the defensive cuts on his hands. That's another thing.
I don't know. If I had a kid like that at that age, I think I'd have some mace or something by me at all times, a stun gun, something.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about a kid who's in his 40s and comes back. I'm not sure how I like that.
I don't like it at all.
No. I wouldn't want that to be me, although I can easily see how that could happen to anybody, but that's just not attractive.
No, it's really not.
And I don't mean that in the attractive way, just that, you know, as
yeah,
a person.
I know what you mean.
As a human. As an earthling. Just take care of your business.
Yep.
And Daniel is in wildbunchchat.com. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan. Uncle Dan.
Uncle Dan. Oh, that's right. He's going to be an uncle on Facebook.
He's going to be an uncle. Congratulations, Dan.
Congratulations, Daniel. And as Frankie D is saying about the murdering child, that when he starts therapy, the first thing the therapist will do is convince him that guilt is no good for him.
And that's probably true.
Probably. I know you should feel bad about what you've done, but don't dwell, Scott. Don't dwell.
Right? You got it out of your system now.
Exactly.
Let it go.
Absolutely.
Oh, my.
And Zoe's duck was called Philippa.
Aw.
I'm sure that the French
You're
said
saying
it
that
much,
like Philippa?
I'm sure the French gave it a much nicer pronunciation, but yeah, that's what I'm reading, Philippa.
They called him Flipper. Flipper. I'm sorry, Zoe.
The wonderful goose. Duck. Duck, duck, goose.
Bust on your duck.
No, that duck produced good shit.
Huevos.
Huevos. Mm-hmm. Huevos rancheros, yes.
Huevos.
We have more wonderful fathers to talk about when we come back on the Fabulous D Show. But first, we need to hear some fabulous communications from our extraterrestrial sponsors. So come back after this. Join us in WildBunchChat.com. I'm the Artist D. That's Vanilla Child. We'll be back right after this. On Wild Bunch Radio, simulcast on RainbowMixRadio.com.
Broadcasting from between the folds of time and space, you're listening to WildBunchRadio.com.
My gorilla fur coat is missing from my suitcase.
And I want that coat back within the next 2 hours.
So I'm furious. I don't give a fuck about the mood in the house. I want that coat back in the next 2 hours, and I would beg you to do your very best to get me that coat back.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wild Bunch Radio. I'm Bryn Edwards, and I'd like you to tune into my show, The Bryn Edwards Show, every Monday, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Goes to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want you to check it out. Lots of music, commentary, and just stupid crap, basically. Also, while you're at Wild Bunch Radio, you might also want to check out the website at wildbunchradio.com. And you can take a look at some of the other fine shows that we have there, like Soylent Radio, Zoe's Bits and Pieces, Venison Stew, Cotolo Chronicles, these and many, many more. Uncensored, uncut, unedited. Oh, yeah. And ribbed for her pleasure.
Держите альтернативные мысли на воздухе. Quiltbungradio.com пожертвовать.
My God, I like opera. Liszt, Rachmaninoff, Chopin, opera. Lenny Bruce is a piece of garbage. Who would want him? My dear, my forte is opera, classical music. That's what I love. I don't want Lenny Bruce in these pieces of shit. I grew up in high society in New York. Elegance, elegance, that's all I love. Do I have to listen to these pieces of shit from nowhere? God! God!
Join Frankie D over the rainbow at the end of the Rainbow Show. He's playing war-era swing, standards, and pop classics. Frankie D is a doo-wop kind of guy, and we love him to death. It's the End of the Rainbow Show every weekday night on RMX. Visit RainbowMixRadio.com to tune in and boogie to your heart's content.
Get out your racing form, pour yourself some Yukon Jack, sit back and relax. The Frank is on. That's right, it's Cotolo Chronicles every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. on WBRN. That's WildBunchRadio.com. So tune in, chill out, and listen to all of Frank's millions and squillions and billions of guests, and even sometimes better, just himself on Wild Bunch Radio. Hey, you.
So, my fine Finkish friends, you have heard my astounding proposal. What do you say? What do you say?
One thing is certain, our strike cannot be postponed. We are at the mercy of the Gotham River tide.
Riddler's right for once. It's now or never if we're to get through the channel. Make up your minds. The Batman will never come here now, but the police will any instant. So to the Penguin's princely plan. Is it yes or no?
I say it's crazy. But I say let's try it. We have to do something to get Batman out of the way.
Oh, go ahead, Penguin.
Mr. Joker, would you drop one of your little dream pills into Commodore Schmidlap's tea?
Presto!
And then carry him down to the submarine.
Yo-ho!
Mr. Riddler, will you tell Mr. Quetch to fetch the 5 guinea pigs?
Ah. Quetch, fetch the 5 guinea pigs.
Yo-ho!
Before Tad, I was just a robot. Visit wildbunchradio.com to donate to help robots like me.
And we're back on the Fabulous D Show, the artist Ian Villachild with you. Welcome back. I see that they're asking what a sheets is in wildbunchchat.com.
A sheets. It is a convenience store, kind of like a Wawa or a 7-Eleven or a Turkey Hill.
Exactly. And it serves the best coffee ever.
So I've heard.
The best Insta coffee, yeah. At least. Anything that comes out of a machine coffee ever.
Well, they make some pretty good food, too.
That I do know as well. They have some good stuff.
But it's, yeah, the made-to-order stuff.
Basically, you know, gas station. But, you know, classier, bigger, classier.
Well, you can pull up to the pump, and while you're pumping gas, you can order your food right from the pump.
Yes.
And by the time you're done, you can go in and get it.
I miss that.
It's very convenient.
We do not have sheets in the middle of everywhere.
That's such a shame.
No.
Because you need sheets.
Yeah, that's the one thing the only thing I missed upon moving was the
sheets.
Abundance of sheets.
Yeah.
Yes. Very good.
And they're just becoming more abundant. They're making more of them all the time.
I've had heard they're moving slowly, gravitating slowly, westernly.
Yeah. I don't understand why. Well, Turkey Hill's doing the same thing. They're building companies, from what I hear, in other states.
Yes. Well, as I pointed out, one of the last shows was we now have Turkey Hill iced tea and other such things in our grocery stores.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
It is crazy. Banning and that's what I don't understand. If this economy is so bad,
how
is Lancaster County booming so much?
Well, that's just, you know, it shows what sells. Gas stations and mini marts and iced tea. That's what people
convenience
want.
Sells.
Convenience. And that all came from a conversation in Wild Bunch Chat that someone on Facebook just got a credit card handed to them after a man licked it.
Yeah, that was funny.
Because I see he licked it clean, so I wonder what was on it.
I don't know. Probably cocaine.
It's like, oh shit, there's some left on there. Let me get that. Wait one second.
Yeah.
We can't waste a drop.
Let me get a quick nummy off of that.
A quick nummy. And we're
talking what they're called.
About Father's Day and bad fathers on the Fabulous D Show. We talked about some good fathers as well, because they are out there. And we do love the good ones. And the bad ones are just amusing.
They are amusing.
Next up, Ham Lake youth director charged with sexual assault was a father figure. Because there are fathers, and then there are father figures. And boy, was he a father figure. 47-year-old youth director suspected of an ongoing sexual relationship with a teenage girl was charged today with 4 counts of sexual misconduct. Damian Burkhalter of Blaine faces 2 counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct and 2 counts of second-degree criminal sexual conduct. First-degree sex offenses carry up to 30 years in prison if convicted. Burkhalter, a father of 2 teenage children, notice it does not say what gender those children are, serves as youth director at Glen Carey Lutheran Church in Ham Lake. He's accused of inappropriately touching a 14-year-old girl and attempting to have sex with her multiple times between June and November of 2010. He met the girl, who is now 15, at church through his work as a youth director. Of course. Of course. Many of the incidents took place at Glen Cary Lutheran Church. Of course, because that's where people, you know, have sex. Where the girl...
And that's where people think their kids are safe.
Of course. Where the girl later worked for him. And actually, I noticed this, and I left this typo in there just to mention it, because the actual article says the incidents took place at church where the girl later worked him. Not worked for, but worked him, which That's is funny. Very true. That was her job. Some of the sexual activity also took place during church-related camp trips or at the Burkhalter's family's home in Blaine. When the girl, who described Burkhalter as a father figure in the complaint, told Burkhalter she did not want to have sex with him because she was saving herself for marriage. Oh, that's the only reason. Burkhalter told her that Joseph was in his 40s and Mary was much younger. There's an excuse. Joseph was a little rapist pimp daddy too. There's nothing wrong with this. Authorities learned of the relationship through confessions the girl made to a therapist. Bail has been set for Burkhalter, who has no known criminal record. Well, not yet.
Yeah, he does now, or he's about to.
Yes, and it appears that Mr. Burkhalter has a Facebook. Because, you know...
Oh, and you looked him up.
Of course. After every story, I'm like, well, let me see this guy. Let me see what's going on at the Facebook of the youth minister. Unfortunately, giving pedophiles and rapists the stereotype they currently have, Damien is looking about 6 feet tall, bald, and suspiciously creepy.
Ew.
Yes.
Link us. You need to link us.
Oh, okay. I will link right now. And it's definitely him because he's from Blaine, Minnesota or something like that. And he looks, and his likes are God, Johnny Cash, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, Bill Murray.
Oh, of course.
And he's a fan of the Bible. So I think this is the guy.
Says a lot. Right there. Why is it always the church guys that are doing this? See, I'm afraid to send my daughter to youth group now.
You should be.
It's like, what's going on over there?
Well, and if it's not the leaders, what are the kids doing? You know what kids do at camp.
Mm-hmm. That's why Divix was a little upset that she's not going to creation this year, but 5 adults to a buttload of kids, as they put it? Come on.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't. You can't trust that situation. Mm-hmm.
No, not at all.
And looking over Mr. Burkhalter's friends list, you'll see that he's got a lot of young girls on his list.
I bet he does.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it brings to mind something I often wonder when we find the criminal and connect them with their Facebook. I wonder what posts on their wall look like after these torrid stories come out.
He looks creepily like his wife or whoever's in the picture.
I'm wondering who's in that picture. I mean, I imagine it's his wife, but yes, they do look like that couple, that kind of couple. The stereotype, you know, they haven't touched each other.
Their parents are the same.
They haven't touched each other in 20 years. They sleep in separate beds. And you know, she's heartbroken, probably. Oh, how could you? I thought you believed in the Lord.
I
wonder if all the young girls post, you know, you sicko and all that, or the soccer moms are all like, you're going down. or you are going down, like Peggy Hill would say, because it looks like looks like a lot of Peggy Hills on his friends list.
I love Peggy Hill.
Me too.
She's one of my heroes. Camp Wapo, what is that?
I bet he'd like to show you.
It's an interest that 17 people like, but has no info on it at all.
Yes.
That must be the camp.
The Lineage of Grace. He likes that book. The Purpose-Driven Life.
He likes a lot of weird shit.
Yeah. Buddy the Elf. He's gotta be.
Yeah,
a
I saw that.
Yeah.
Grown ups.
Yeah, and he watches Iron Chef, MASH, and Cheers. He likes cards, Nintendo, Wii, and board games.
Oh, things that appeal to children.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd like to hear this, you know, response. Now, see, that woman looks awfully young in his picture.
She does look very young.
She looks more like, you know, a daughter than anything. But I'm sure it's his wife.
Probably.
Very,
I don't know. She looks creepily like him. A yes. lot like him, actually. Could be his sister.
Could be.
I mean, they're not posing in like a very...
No, it looks like a prom photo.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't even... Well, I mean, usually in a prom photo, the guy wraps his arms around the girl or something. I don't know. Maybe he couldn't get his arms around her.
Could be. She is rather wide.
Oh, she's pretty dressed, though.
Yeah, yeah. It just goes to show for the religious types. You know, this is what goes on behind the scenes, because he's just sitting there surrounded by all that with the wife at home baking pies. Ugh. It's like that one movie that we watched that I really don't remember the title of, but it was some serial killer. And, you know, he killed lots of young people. But that could be anybody.
Yeah, that could be. Isn't that most serial killer's MO? It seems to be anyway.
They do seem to like to kill people, yes.
Young people.
And then if it's
not little kids.
If it's not the son stabbing the father, it's the father stabbing his family. The entire family.
Oh,
police say father stabs two daughters and mother. Shortly after 6:30 a.m. Wednesday, county officers and fire department rescue responded to a telephone call from one of the daughters saying that she, her mother, and sister were stabbed by their father. According to neighbors, the mother was brought out from the home in a pressurized suit, and the daughters were in better condition. Police with dogs searched the area for the 49-year-old father. He was found about 7:30 a.m. in the woods behind the townhouse complex. Police said they had yet to determine if his injuries were self-inflicted. And that's all we have. No more story. What the hell happened here? Did he get
in a
fight? Was he like, you bitches? I'm tired of living with you bitches. Three, you know, one man, three women. He's outvoted.
It could be.
He never gets what he wants, never gets his food the way he wants it. He always gets meatloaf.
Probably never gets laid.
Never gets laid because she's afraid he'll make another one. You know, the fathers, they support you, then they stab you.
I don't know. Well, that's better than them dropping cinder blocks on their baby's head. We had a guy around here do that recently.
This is true. Yes, the outrage and child killing was very interesting.
Yeah, and then there was, I think, another one that punched his kid in the face a few times, beat the shit out of her. She was just little, like a baby.
Yeah, people just.
Don't understand the violence on babies. I mean, they're babies.
No, exactly. And people dispose of their children in such strange ways.
They really do.
Flushing them, pounding them with bricks. This is really unnecessary.
Imagine how much smaller the population would be, though, if disposing of your children was legal.
Seriously, yes. I'd like to know that true statistic of you know, honest people interviewed. If it was legal.
Why isn't it legal? I mean, we bring them into the world. Why can't we take them out?
Well, I've always thought that, as far as that would go, if you've got them to a certain age, especially if they're just a baby, and abortion is legal, then shouldn't you be able to, yep. you know, do something afterwards?
Yeah, drop him off at the hospital. That's what they want you to do, yeah. And then...
Well, because it makes complete sense, because if they allow the near-end trimester abortion, which is practically slicing it up when it's a human, when it's a constructed, full, heart-pumping kind of thing, you know, there's no doubt about it that is a baby inside you, could possibly live outside of you with equipment. Mm-hmm. But if you can get rid of it then, and you can't get rid of it later. But then I understand why we didn't get into this conversation with society, because then when it's all said and done with, people are going to say, well, what age is the cutoff?
Yeah.
Because some people would think they could kill their kid up to age 18, you know. As long as they support them and feed them, they can kill them.
Well, that should be the cutoff.
Apparently.
I mean, legally, that's when they're adults, so.
This is true. In a world gone mad, and in truth and freedom, that's how it would be.
Probably.
Although,
but
if you're gonna,
I really think if it was legal, you know, we wouldn't have such a population crisis. A lot of people would kill their kids. I wouldn't.
So.
I mean, I'm.
Yeah. I think they would, because I think they have them. They're guilted into having them a lot of the time, and they do that without knowing what they're about to get into.
Right.
And then once they're, you know, month 4 of screaming and crying and biting and shitting,
they
finally
realize.
That
they've created.
Exactly. So I think if they could have at that option at that time, that would work out for a lot of people.
It would.
But that is in a different world, in a different place.
We're going to hell for that. For our thoughts on that.
Most likely, but I'm already there, so it's all right.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about this father that stabbed people, and the psychological thing about the structure is that the father actually initiates that structure. You know, he lured his woman in and married her, as we spoke of before, and, you know, this happened because he kind of let it happen. And then you get to a point where you're like, no, God damn it, this is not what I wanted at all. I shouldn't have listened to anyone. And then he stabs everybody.
Right. Oh.
And then, of course, you've got the, as Karen just pointed out in chat, what about the 41-year-old that moves back in with you?
Me.
'Cause
that, yeah, well, that should be a special exception.
Probably. You should at least be able to, you know, get them removed.
Yep. Like a hemorrhoid.
Like a hemorrhoid.
Have them locked up.
Absolutely.
Probably couldn't afford it.
Probably.
It's expensive to lock your children up.
And yeah, it really is. Because they're still your children, and then you end up fitting the bill anyway.
Yep. At least if you lock them up legally, I should say. Mm. Some people just lock them in the closet. Feed them.
True. And those are damn interesting parents as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like the girl who was found, I don't even know if we did that story, but I had found it once, the girl who was found eating herself, like her arms and stuff, because they locked her in a shed and she was so hungry she started gnawing on herself.
That's so gross.
Yeah. Yeah, the parents were too busy playing Xbox to go and take care of their kid. They just locked her in kind of a, you know, baby cage kind of thing.
That's awful.
Yeah, and she started to eat herself.
They're the type of parents that should have just killed her.
Yes. Well, if they wanted to,
out of misery,
play video games instead, they should never have gotten involved.
Well, exactly. Or put her up for adoption, something. But it's not the kid's fault.
Because now you've got that kid who is a walking lifetime movie, just waiting to grow up with issues out the ass.
Okay. Probably will grow up to be a cannibal or something, because now she's got taste for
human
flesh.
My parents, they hated me so much that they wanted to play video games instead. And they locked me in a closet, and I had to eat myself to stay alive. Now that's a story, and that's somebody I want to see in 20 years.
Right. We'll have to revisit that.
Yes. Take note. See what she's doing in 20 years. And speaking of people in boxes, Newark funeral director found guilty of stealing body parts, faces, victims, and families in court.
Ew.
Her hands trembling and her eyes welling with tears, Robin today faced down the former Newark funeral director who had allowed her father's body to be desecrated and sold for parts on the medical transplant market. My memories of my dad should be wonderful images of the man he was, not the images of his butchered body and feeling as if justice did not prevail, Robin said in Superior Court, the sentencing of Stephen Finley, the disgraced former mortician. Finley, who is already serving 5 years in prison for his role in a scheme to illegally harvest body parts for resale, was sentenced today to an additional 18 months term for practicing mortuary science without a license. Authorities say the ghoulish crime stretched across 3 states and included 1,000 bodies and more.
Ew.
Robin, 55, of Roselle Park, also took aim at the Essex County Prosecutor's Office, saying she felt wildly victimized by its unwillingness to inform relatives about the crime or more aggressively pursue the case. Dozens of New Jerseyans, whose relatives were violated, did not learn about the crime until early 2010. Robin's father, Albert, died in 2005, months after Finley had pleaded guilty to a single count of desecrating human remains. The 48-year-old is alleged to have allowed teams of cutters to remove parts, without permission, from nearly 100 bodies in his funeral home from 2001 to 2005. None of the stolen parts were screened for disease. When relatives were finally informed of the crime, they learned about it from the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office in New York, which uncovered the scheme. Fraudulent contact information thwarted an initial attempt by the Essex County Prosecutor's Office to reach relatives, but no further effort was made. The prosecutor's office has been trying to right the wrong ever since, meeting with and apologizing to families. Finley, the funeral director, stood passively through the 25-minute proceedings, but did not speak. Of course not, he's a funeral director. His attorney, Alan Bowman, said his client was very sorry and understands the eternal hurt and disappointment he caused. He carries this burden. Barbara Bornstein, 68, of Maplewood, used her time to talk about her cousin, Alan, his struggles through life, the joyous final Thanksgiving they spent in 04, and her decision to contact Finley after his death. His body never should have been desecrated. There is anger, but most of all, enduring pain. I am overwhelmingly in pain. Oh, Vanilla Child. I don't know where to start. And week after week, I'm being turned into such a bastard because we keep finding articles that make me sound like this insensitive horror. Not that I don't wish anything bad on anybody. You know, we know I'm not pro-desecration, but for Christ's sake, these people are dead.
Yeah, really. Who the hell gives a shit?
Donor.
If it's saving lives, why can't people look at it like that? I mean, the guy is wrong because, you know, obviously, he's going about it the wrong way. But I think if most people, you approach them, let them in on some of the profit, maybe, or at least, you know, agree to donate some of it in their name and their memory, they might be more open to it. And saving a life.
What they're not talking about is the black market for donor organs and the need for it and why it's there.
Because why system, is there such a huge black market? It seems like it's easier to get parts there.
Exactly. You can get a liver illegally faster than you can on a list at some hospital.
This is probably why.
Probably. But if you're willing to pay for it, then reopen that book. See about this transplant list business. Figure that out, you know. That's why the market exists.
That's true. I wonder if there was a way you could, like, get money for your organs before you die.
That would be awesome.
To promise, that would be insane.
Although then there's, you know, there's, like, contractual issues there, because what if you don't die very well. You could be burned alive. Then they would have paid you for nothing. Charcoal.
That would be a chance they'd have to take.
True. I wonder what the statistics are for that. I mean, I know that they're not harvesting everything from you when you're dead. Even people who die really well. So.
You know. Right. But they should. I mean, get the most out of it. But I guess organs don't last very long unless they're transplanted right away.
Interesting about this. He's a funeral director, and he was able to do this. So how does that work?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I thought by the time you're there, you are cold out.
You're really dead.
You're dead, which is the thing. And I'm not pro organ donor, and I don't like that little box on the license at all. I don't think so, because there's too much crap about them taking your shit before you're dead. That's a problem as well. So,
and that's probably why a lot of people won't check that box, and why the black market for it is so big.
Exactly. And I'd have no problem checking that box if I could be absolutely 100% guaranteed that I would be dead before they ripped me apart. Because it does not bother me. I'm dead.
I'd probably be okay with it if they paid me.
Yeah.
But they'd look up my medical history, and they wouldn't want my parts.
True. Well, you know, parts are parts if they're going to work a little bit.
Well, that's true, I guess.
You know, I mean, I don't want your lungs, but, you know, maybe your liver.
My ovaries.
Exactly. But, like, your eyes. Your eyes are always good. People love eyes. Right. Heart. Heart's good. Kidneys.
That's funny. I probably don't have much that's left that's working properly. Yes.
Reminds me of that guy who just had that total face transplant. And it's somebody else's face.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, and it works. I loved that article. It's an actual working face.
Human body's an amazing thing.
I know. I love how we can just, you know, peel it off of one, slap it on another.
And it just attaches and grows.
Just starts working. Sounds really simple, but, you know, there's the 25-hour surgery followed by...
Because we're aliens.
The freaking pain. Can you imagine how painful that must be? To get a face transplant?
That would be painful.
Yeah, it's like my face is on fire or something.
Yeah, and that's like the worst place to get a scratch, a bite, a pimple. I mean, it's painful.
Yeah.
It's a very sensitive area.
So picture it, your entire face being peeled off and then peeled back on somehow.
Reminds me of degloving, which is so gross.
And what I hate about this article is how Robin is all like talking about what memories of her father she should have, what she's entitled to. You know, you don't get that. And I don't like that when people are talking about, I should not have to be remembering my father in this way. He was a wonderful man.
Well, you don't have to remember him that way.
Exactly. He was dead.
He should have been fully dressed and covered up and clothed.
And none of these people knew. They got dismembered in 2001, and it's just being notified now in 2010.
That's what I'm saying. How'd she find out?
Exactly. The prosecutor had to call and tell her. It's not like they went to the funeral and opened the box and said, oh my God, Dad's missing.
Yeah. Yeah, so she doesn't have any memories of it.
Exactly.
That's just... She didn't see him in that state.
But
no one stole her memories.
Yes, but you don't get... You know, you get to remember everything about the person. You don't get the sweet sunshine and... You get the brutal truth. And you don't get to ignore the fact that your dead father was hacked up and sold. Shit happens. This shit happens. At least he was dead. And is that really a memory of your father if your father's already dead?
Nope. I would say no. No, he's already dead. Yeah,
it's not that big of a deal.
I don't think
dead so. Dead is dead. Dead is gone. We cannot preserve our loved ones no matter how hard we try. And
no, but you know people.
Exactly.
People will do anything for attention and to make a big deal.
anything.
So.
And then they want to weep on the stand about that. But
yeah,
it's,
and anything to make a buck.
And it's a serious psych eval here that we embalm dead bodies, lock them in airtight sarcophaguses, and plunge them 6 feet under before they deteriorate one bit. That's kind of sick. Talk about locking them away. You know.
That's wasteful.
It is wasteful. Hugely wasteful.
A body?
Oh my God, we could do a whole show on how...
It's a waste of a box.
Death is wasteful. And they bury them in, like, lead-lined gold leaf marble.
Which can't be good for the soil
everything.
That they're in.
Well, I mean, think of all that could be gone towards something else. You're not burying Superman, lead-lined coffin. You don't need that. He's dead.
Yep.
Dead. And the funeral, the cost, it's more than a wedding.
Oh, sometimes. I know, it's disgusting.
And then you've got to feed people, and you pay thousands of dollars for a dinner, so Aunt Miriam can be all gushing in front of everyone, and you never liked her anyway. It's horrible.
Oh, yeah, funerals are no fun. There's an article about funeral home directors here in the paper the other day about when they don't get paid, what happens, how much of a loss they take.
Oh.
Because after people bury their loved ones, they don't want to pay. Well, no shit.
Well, that's something I would be collecting for up front.
So we're done with.
Holy
well,
crap.
They say they try to in most cases, but they also try to work with people. And a lot of times the insurance doesn't come through before... You know, everything needs to be done and ordered, and they have to take money out of their own pocket to order, you know, all the cards and just all the bullshit that goes along with the funeral. Like, comes out of their own pocket, and then they lose on it later on because people just don't want to pay.
I can't even deal with that, along with that insurance even exists for funerals.
Really?
Could they not have...
Well, I mean,
you know,
life insurance. Yeah.
And life insurance.
Well, that's what they wait for. The life insurance is supposed
life
to cover...
Life insurance is just so dumb.
It really is.
I feel so. I mean, I know... Well, it is dumb. Because you can opt for the cardboard box and cremation for like a couple hundred. Or you can get the $25,000 life insurance policy... And buy the lead-lined box. Why? What are you wasting that money for? Or, you know, you're the Black Widow wife who takes that $25,000.
Maybe that's what, like, welfare and Social Security should do for people who are on the system.
No, there you go. That would get their money back.
Life insurance. Well, yeah, exactly. Put a life insurance policy on these people so that when they expire, you're getting back at least what you paid them.
I think you've come up with a great idea.
I think it makes sense. I think we should approach our leader with that one.
Yes. Get me the White House right now.
As long as they tack on enough to cover funeral expenses so the family doesn't have to scramble for it. I mean, if you're going to take
exactly.
all their money. But it's not like you can't go get your own insurance policy on yourself, too. So there you go.
Exactly. Well, and I had one for a while until I was too old. Because then, you know, because it goes down the older you get, which I think is ridiculous, because that's what you get it for.
Right.
But, like, with every 10 years, it goes down a step further.
And, no, it should go up the other way.
Which is why I thought, oh, it'd be great if I was, like, 20 and dead, then I'd be, like, $25,000. That would get me, like, some monument in Town Square. That's what I wanted my life insurance policy for. Fuck the funeral. Get me a monument.
Yeah, I always said that's what I want.
Give
I want one of those little buildings. I don't want to be underground. I'd rather be...
Yes, there's that too.
Build me a little marble house in the cemetery, just big enough to fit my coffin in.
I just want the statue of me.
No, I want the whole, like, mausoleum thing.
Yeah,
I want a building.
That's how I preferred it originally, but now just put me in a shoebox. Burn me up, put me in a shoebox. And do with me what you will.
Yeah, that should be the way it is. Just burn them.
Burn them.
Drop them in the ocean, feed them to the fish. Something, but don't take up precious earth space with dead bodies.
Imagine how many holes are in the ground because of that shit.
I know, there's a lot.
A lot. And how much land have we wasted for cemeteries and mausoleums?
Well, and it kind of makes you wonder what happens when they all get full. Then where do we put people?
Exactly.
Just go make more? I mean, I don't know. The new cemeteries are not something that you see crop up very often.
No. So apparently we're not running out of space.
We're...
Although out here, and yet out here, I don't know where they put them. There's no cemeteries. We don't have cemeteries.
That's usually. Weird.
You know, we just have.
Dude, that's creepy, actually. Where do you put your dead bodies?
I don't know. I still don't know this. I've been here like 10 years, and I still don't know where the dead people go.
Lake Mead?
We don't die. We just
toss them over the dam.
Exactly. Maybe that's... we get thrown in the Grand Canyon. It's possible. Because the cemeteries out here are like the veterans' cemeteries in the East. You know, there are no stones. There's just a plaque or something, a marker on the ground. We don't do the whole tombstone thing. So there's not really any creepy, fabulous cemeteries to go flouncing around and taking photos, unfortunately.
That does suck.
Although in California, they do have cemeteries, because, you know, those are cool, but... Yeah, in the desert...
There's some fabulous cemeteries out there.
In the middle of motherfucking everywhere, we just don't bury people like that.
But isn't it... It's kind of nostalgic. I mean, we love cemeteries.
We do. That's why
we're sitting here complaining about them, but we love them.
We do. What else would our teenage youth take photos of?
Where else would our teenage youth have had sex?
Exactly. Hanging around. And it's a... The cemetery for a teenager is the social mecca. Absolutely. And speaking of body parts... And by the way, if anyone wanted to know why that story was relevant, of course, the funeral director was the father, or could have been a father.
He probably was.
Probably. And his children are probably not surprised, because dad's a funeral director. Doesn't get much more shocking.
Those body parts probably put them through college.
Exactly. So speaking of body parts, leading us right to our next story. Didn't expect to lose a finger, says man who shot off wart. Bedeviled by a painful wart that no cream, ointment, or doctor could cure, Sean Murphy reportedly decided to try a radical and permanent at-home procedure. His surgical tool, a 12-bore Beretta shotgun. In a move that seems fitting of the Wild West rather than modern England, the security guard fortified himself with a healthy dose of local anesthetic in the form of beer, stretched out his left hand, aimed, and pulled the trigger. Unfortunately for Murphy, the blast had collateral damage. According to the Telegraph, it blew off nearly the entire middle finger on his left hand and left the 38-year-old possibly facing prison time for illegal possession of a firearm. With just a stump to show for his efforts, Murphy appeared in court earlier this week and was handed a suspended 16-week prison sentence and 100 hours of community service. I'm happy with that, Murphy says. I know I could have gone to jail for up to 15 years for a firearms offense. My solicitor did a very good job. Defending the at-home surgery, Murphy's lawyer, Richard High, told the Telegraph that Murphy had been a victim of his own stupidity when domestic pressures got to him. Despite all the trouble he caused, Murphy stood by his decision, telling the Yorkshire Post, "The best thing here is that the wart is gone. It's not going to give me trouble anymore."
So he did at least hit the right finger.
Yes. A testament to warts everywhere. He shot off his own finger. And he is pleased with the results. He couldn't be freaking happier.
Oh, that's funny.
I understand that. I mean, we've all had that wart that just won't go away.
Won't go away. Yeah, I used to have one on one of my knuckles that would crop up whenever I'd get pregnant. It was weird.
Yeah, it is weird. There was one
I'm allergic to my kids.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, there was one on my thumb, which it's just fascinating. I don't know. These little things on skin are fascinating to me.
They are.
Yeah, because what causes that? What's in there? What's going on? It's amazing.
I'd like to know why the idiot used a shotgun.
Exactly.
I don't even know how he'd do it. Like, trying to think how he'd hold a shotgun back.
Did he try anything else? Like, cutting it off? I mean, there are some pretty crazy things you could do.
Even a smaller gun.
I wouldn't shoot it off.
Like a little .22 or something. Like a pistol, not a shotgun.
That's just not something that comes to mind when I'm after a wart. I'd rather, go at it with a blowtorch or a hacksaw or something.
Dip it in some, like, dry ice and break it off.
Exactly. It just does not cross my mind. I mean, he must have been so stressed out that night. He's like, God damn it, my wife sucks, and I don't get laid anymore, and then there's this wart.
There's this wart
that I can't get rid of. I can't control my wife, but I'll control my wart. Bang.
Well, at least he's pleased with the result. No more finger. No more fuck you finger. But no more wart either.
Exactly. Now he gets to hear all the jokes, like the one I was thinking when I heard that the court handed down the decision. Handed. Get it?
Yeah. I don't know, Karen. Maybe warts or kids are viruses. Could be.
Yes, well, warts are caused by viruses, and kids are kind of a growth.
They are. They definitely are a growth. But it was weird. I only ever had it when I was pregnant.
It
would go away after I would have the kids.
That is rare. Rare and odd. But works.
Maybe pregnancy just turned me into a witch.
Could have.
That could be it.
And of course, that story was relevant because that man could have also been a father.
Could have.
And what a role model.
Right.
Jesus.
God forbid his kids get a wart.
I know. Well, Dad got rid of his.
Daddy'll take care of it.
I know. They'll probably call him up in 40 years. Hey, Dad, didn't you get rid of a wart once? I've got this really bad one on my finger.
What'd you do to get rid of that shit?
Oh, yeah, I don't think I'll... I'll have to pass on that. I'd rather live with it. And moving right along to the fathers that father, to the fathers that don't get to father and are pissed off because they suck, father assaults stepdad at son's birthday party. Naples, Florida. 27-year-old East Naples man was arrested Friday after he assaulted his son's stepfather at the 7-year-old's birthday party. Christopher J. Belcher of the 2500 block of Holly Avenue is charged with felony battery. Reports stated the boy's mother on June 12th drove Belcher to their son's party at her house. So she drove the father to the house. A verbal dispute later ensued between Belcher and the woman's husband of 4 years. The woman has custody of the boy, who lives with her and her husband. During the argument, the stepdad told Belcher he was a poor father and needed to be more positive influence in the child's life. Belcher began walking away when he stopped, turned around, and approached the man. Belcher ripped glasses off the man's face, punched him several times in the face, and both fell to the ground. Belcher delivered several rabid punches to the man's side. The woman separated the two, and Belcher left. So there we have it, gentle readers. Not only do we have the fathers who were bad fathers, and the mothers had the sense to leave them, but the sympathy to still invite them to the Rugrats birthday party still brings grief.
At least we have stepfathers out there who are willing to stand up for their stepkids.
We do. Thankfully.
God bless the stepdads. It's the non-dads that are the better dads.
Exactly. It's true, because they see they took it, they accepted it. They didn't, you know, accidentally get into it. They chose that shit.
Yep, my Lewis is a prime example of that.
Exactly.
I'm so blessed.
Yes, but and this is kind of like the Father's Day thing of the father that you don't like. This mother drove the father to the birthday party. And he's still such a prick that he had to get in a fight with the stepfather. But, you know, they know. He's not a positive influence. He sucks. Black and white here, people. Get rid of him.
And he just proved it, yep.
Just get rid of him. Stop dancing around, flirting with, well, Brad, he needs to be a bigger, better role in the kid's life. Give him a chance. Not only did he,
yeah, I don't understand that. If you have a stepdad that's there and willing to take care of your kid, and you know, real dad is that much of an asshole, why have him around? The kid doesn't need him.
Exactly. I mean, he knocked you up 7 years ago. He was apparently an asshole. He left you. You left him. Somebody left somebody. And you've moved on. You've built your family structure. You've given your kid the father figure that you think he might need. But then you still want to involve.
I would say that's bad mothering.
This. It is, because it's bringing around this thought, this memory, that this is still your father, and your father's a jackass. So even though you might love your stepfather, your other father's a jackass, and you might still think that somehow has some sort of will on what you're going to become. Because that's what happens. Then that kid thinks that he's like cursed because he has an asshole father.
Well, it's almost like rubbing it in the kid's face.
Yes.
And that's not right either.
And then, he comes to your seventh birthday party and gets in a fist fight. That's
lovely. I'm sure the
lovely.
Kid would much rather not, see the drama.
Yeah.
But this is part of what's wrong with kids today. They grow up in families like this.
Yes. And people don't know well enough to just form the family. Get on with it. Black and white. No sympathy. Too much goddamn sympathy.
I agree. I'm becoming less sympathetic over time as I get older. It's funny.
Well, it's the family construct completely. And that's why I got away from it. Because it's like, these people, we're family. We have to stick together. No, you don't.
No.
Not at all. And you don't have to go to the reunion when you hate everybody there.
That's right.
Or they all hate you. Either way. You just don't have to deal with it.
Choose your family well.
Exactly. You can choose your own. You can get out and move away and pick your family, pick your friends. It's the perfect life. None of this. Mm-hmm. None of this crap. Fathers. That's the Father's Mother's Day thing. It's this horrible connection. Christmas. It's all involving people you don't like.
I agree. Like, I don't know if that's going to be the case. Have an aunt's and uncle's day too. Where's that at? It's just a marketing ploy.
True.
To sell. They have to figure out a day to put power tools and tires on sale. So there you go. Father's Day.
Exactly. And then, not until recently, was, like, Grandparents' Day cool. Because there is a Grandparents' Day somewhere out there. I don't remember when, but
I think it's in September.
Yeah.
Or October.
They don't need a day. If you need a day, you don't love them enough anyway.
That's true.
Then we have fathers that, before they can be fathers, they shake you to death. As we've almost already gotten into. A father in Greenwood, South Carolina, charged with unlawful conduct toward a child. Investigators with the Greenwood Sheriff's Office said that Justin Bowman confessed to shaking his 3-month-old son when he became fussy during a bath. The child was taken to the hospital on Sunday with bleeding on the brain and blood behind the eyes. The infant has been released. Doctors said they are not sure of the long-term effects. And that brings up the whole brick to the head from the father thing. It's the teenage contingent of this week's topic. The teen dads, because this one was one, thinking that they can just, shake it and it'll listen. And you gotta love babies. The ultimate creature who can give you the finger. You can shake them, slap them, throw them around. They still cry. Because they have no reason to respect you. And they don't have to like you.
Right. And they have no other way of telling you that but to cry.
Exactly. And you can tell them to shut up and they say no. No, yeah. I'm not. You're not the boss of me. You may feed me, and I might be completely dependent on you, but I don't care. Which is probably what... Well, that is exactly what enrages these mothers and fathers. Because that's the construct they think of, is... If it were them, rationally, you know, dependent on something, they'd be forced to respect it, but not babies.
No. Yep. Babies are a virus.
Yes. Babies, the original punk rock kids.
There is no cure.
There is no cure. No cure except some rubber and drugs.
Yep.
Like the legal kind. Did you say handguns?
No, I said handcuffs.
Oh, handcuffs. Yes, handcuffs too. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why people want to have babies so much.
I don't either. I don't understand it. I love my kids, but I never had plans on having them.
No.
I mean, if my life would have went the way I wanted it to, I would have foregone the children and just had fun.
It would appear that most people look at having children like having dogs. You know, because they're like, "Aw, it's so cute. I want one."
No, I look at having my dog as like having a child, another child. But I've never looked at my children as dogs.
Exactly. But, you know, there's those prissy pink princess bitches out there living in their fairy tale thinking they want a kid. Because a kid is so cute and snuggly and cuddly.
But they grow.
Yes, and for some reason, those people think babies are cute. I don't know. I've never.
Yeah, they're cute once they're grown.
Well, I think they turn into much more attractive individuals than that bald, slimy thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I created a whole lot of cuteness.
You sure did. They're all adorable.
They are, and they're all multi-talented.
They are.
I love my kids, but I do, you know, in retrospect, think that they were given to me for a purpose, which was probably to keep me alive.
It helps sometimes.
Well, I mean, had I been left to my own devices to go do what I wanted to do and have the fun that I wanted to have, I would probably be dead.
True. I can think of that in a lot of contexts, yeah. If I was allowed to do what I wanted to do all the time, I'd be dead by now.
I probably would be.
And it's the things...
Because after my grandfather died, I wouldn't have given a fuck anymore, you know?
Right.
But yes, I had Tony.
It's those little family relationship structures that just seem to help.
Yeah.
Because they hold us back in a good way, I guess.
Well, yeah, because who wants to disappoint Dad?
Exactly.
When he's a good dad.
True.
You know?
That's right.
So the last thing you want to do is disappoint the good dad.
Don't disappoint,
you know,
Dad.
I think that's a pretty good indication of whether your dad is good or not, too. Is if you think of what you do before you do it in terms of, is this going to disappoint Dad?
It does seem that some people with really high expectations and morals and stuff, good ones, do fall back on that a lot, that whole my father would be proud stuff.
They do. So what happened to good dads should be our question. Where have all the good dads gone?
Where have they gone?
I don't know. They're dead, I guess.
And how do you
know?
Dying. I mean, and then you have the good dads with the children who don't think that they're good.
Oh, I know, and that irks me.
Yes.
Kids that think just because they get disciplined that mommy or daddy is bad.
Exactly. So there's
Give
that as well.
Yeah. These kids are so jaded.
It's true. But, you know, that builds a character. And sometimes
I
a good
my
one.
My dad's, though.
It's good to know. Good to
know. Feel so lucky to not have bad dads.
Absolutely.
And I just have bad baby dads.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But that's okay.
Can't pick all the good ones.
Yep, that's okay. Because I'm probably better off having done it by myself anyway.
Probably. So when we get back, we'll finish discussing these fathers and give a little advice to someone who wants a little advice about fathers. After this, on The Fabulous D Show, I'm the Artist D.
How do you feel about all of these young pop starlets starving themselves? Do you have...
I could give a shit. I don't care what they do with their lives right now.
Thank you for listening to Wild Bunch Radio, home of 7-foot-tall trannies, delusional superstars, and a really naked hairy guy who plays a lot of metal. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. And there's always more at wildbunchradio.com.
Yes. Yes, I did it. I killed Yvette. I hated her so much. Flames on the side of my face, heaving breaths.
Want more commentary and Easter eggs throughout the week? Fuck the Easter Bunny. Sign up for the Diva newsletter at theartistd.com.
Some say superstar, others say oh my. Go to www.wildbunchradio.com to donate now.
Silent breed is people!
This is Mac Danger inviting you to join me every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern for the Soylent Radio Show, where we go on a 4-hour mind-expanding audio thrill ride that is out of this world, right here only on wildbunchradio.com. I play a wide variety of music from pop, rock, metal, classic, alternative, funk, punk, industrial, and you also hear some of the best of the underground from independent artists across the globe you won't hear anywhere else. And of course, there's always sheer audio madness to bring the fun. Broadcasting live from Better Ghettos and Gardens, where it doesn't just get crazy anymore. It gets downright batshit insane. So tune in every Sunday at 9 p.m. and join us for another edition of Soylent Radio.
Silent breed is people!
They're ready for stardom. They're ready for fame. They're ready for their close-up.
Let's go shopping.
This is the story of three hard-working guys.
What kind of cabaret do you do?
We dress up in women's clothes and parade around mouthing the words to other people's songs.
Who are about to discover...
Ta-da!
It'd be nice to do a show out of town.
How long is the run?
4 weeks.
That hitting the road is hard.
I hereby christen this budget Barbie camper Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Especially in heels.
Sorry.
Along the way, they'll discover surprises.
It's Gabardine! I haven't seen Gabardine for years!
Uncover secrets.
Is it true that her real name's Ralph? I'm gonna smack his face so hard!
And learn that with friends like these...
How long have we been on the road?
4.5 hours.
Life's never a trap. What's happening?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Where are we?
You got us into this, and I suggest you start thinking about how to get us back. I mean, who runs this bloody hotel in the middle of nowhere anyway?
My wife. I'm married.
This is getting too weird. Come on, girls.
Rehearsal time.
Haven't got any kids stashed away out there as well, have you?
Mr. Belrose?
Yes?
It's a boy.
You actually make money by dressing up like a woman?
Oh, sure. Can make a fine living in a pair of heels.
Finally, you come along the way I
prepare for a comedy that just may change the way you think.
Tony, Adam, this is Mr. and Mrs. Spencer. Hello.
Wait!
The way you feel.
Who taught you to waltz?
My wife.
And most of all...
Aren't we fabulous?
The way you dress.
How many times do I have to tell you green is not your color?
The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Do you have the Texas Chainsaw Mascara?
Now there's a gentleman.
空気の考え代替してください。ワイルドバンチラジオに移動し、寄付することをドットコム。
She's got balls. She's got beats. Taunting scammers and entertaining the masses, it's Zoe Balls with Zoe's Bits and Pieces every Saturday night at 5 p.m. EST. So grab your balls and tune in for some beats. Get ready because Zoe's got some enormous hits. Hits, I said hits. Tune in live at wildbunchradio.com.
So fabulous, that is the D Show. It will make you think a lot, from your head to toe. Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Smooth and hot and wonderful, deliciously sublime. That's right, the Fabulous D Show, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sundays now. WBR Radio, the Wild Bunch, got a wild hunch that this is going to be a hit again. Everyone, smooth and hot and wonderful, deliciously sublime.
空気の考え代替してください。ワイルドバンチラジオに移動し、寄付することをドットコム。
And we're back on wildbunchradio.com, simulcast rainbowmixradio.com, and Skypeable, downloadable, iPodable, every wearable at theartistd.com. The Artist D and Villa Child with you, finishing up about Father's Day. Bad fathers. Bad.
That would be a good movie title. I'd watch that.
Bad Fathers?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be a good porno, too.
Yeah. Personally. That, too. Make a bad Santa.
Exactly.
Out of bad dads.
Father's Day was signed into law by Richard Nixon in 1972. It was his fault.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
The man who cannot tell a lie.
Exactly. There are estimated 70 million fathers in the United States alone. It's a lot of fathers.
That is a lot of fathers.
No wonder they want a holiday for it. 25 million fathers were a married couple with children younger than 18 in 2010. 15% of single parents are fathers, totaling 1.8 million in 2010. Stay-at-home dads estimate 154,000.
What?
So that's not a lot when you consider.
That's really not.
The millions and billions of fathers.
Well, no wonder they're so bitter then.
Well, most likely they are the breadwinners, as we discussed.
Yep. They bust their ass for mom to take all the money and spend it on the kid.
And dads eat breakfast with 53% of the children aged 6 and younger. 71% eat dinner with dad.
That's encouraging.
I hated when dad would cook dinner. It would, like, hot dogs and McDonald's. Never liked
that. No, but that's good, though, that dads are eating with their kids.
It is. 71% have dads for dinner. Dad, it's what's for dinner.
The dog food?
Yeah.
Or their actual dads?
Yeah. Dad, the new white meat.
Oh.
Yes, that was all terribly pro-dad. But.
Poor dad.
Poor dad. we have a little bit of time left to discuss a little question that was posed, of course, because, you know, Father's Day brings out all the goons on websites talking about what to do for Dad, the top 10 presents for Dad. Of course, they all include ties.
Why? What dad wants a tie?
I don't know.
Even a dad who's like a lawyer or something that would need a tie probably has so many of them. Why would you give him a damn tie? That's ridiculous.
Exactly. It's really something that is there out of necessity. And so, you know, it's not like they don't have ties. They have all the ties they want.
Right. They buy them. They buy the ones they want. Give them something else, because usually the tie that you give them is not something they want.
Exactly. So this woman asks the newspaper the question of, "My boyfriend has been around for 5 months now and has really taken to my son, age 7. My son feels the same way. And since his dad is in and out of his life, I'm wondering if we shouldn't celebrate Father's Day with my boyfriend. What do you think? Now, let's see what the professionals have to say. Then we'll tell you what we think." The professionals say, "We think you're being really presumptuous and need to slow down. Really taken doesn't mean your boyfriend is ready to be a father figure. It means he likes your son. And although your son seems to feel the same way, it doesn't sound like you have really discussed your boyfriend's place in your life with him. And while we're at it, it doesn't sound like you have had that conversation with your boyfriend either. So before you start picking out china and flatware, take a breath and think about what you are proposing here. Father's Day may just be too loaded of a holiday to spend together this year. Next year, if your boyfriend is still around and has openly accepted the father role, that's when you may want to include him in Father's Day, making sure that you never undermine the biological father's role, even if he is a flake. If you say anything negative, it will not be in the best interest of your son. He will eventually figure out all by himself who is there for him. So let that relationship form naturally." And what do we have to say about that?
The only line I could agree with was the last one.
Yeah.
Because those are kind of the rules I've lived by with my children.
If you take this advice, you've got the situation of the father beating up the stepfather. Or in this case, the boyfriend. Because you've allowed him back in.
Oh, my.
And allowed him to do that.
Oh, you know what I think about that. That's bullshit.
Exactly.
I think, you know, it's such an open holiday. A father figure is just as good. And if the guy's been around, I mean, yeah, 5 months isn't that long. But if it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere, why not? So what?
And to say that the holiday was too loaded to bring this consciousness to the boyfriend and the son. Too loaded. Father's Day is too loaded.
It's too open, because what really defines a father, you know?
Exactly. You know, I loved my father.
Not necessarily donating sperm.
Yeah. The only thing that I could hold against my father was that he was a man. And at the time, I hated men when I was growing up. And that's not his fault, because he just happened to be a man.
No.
So if the only reason you don't like someone is because of their gender, then, you know, to hell with that being valid. Dad's fabulous. No problems there. But when it came to the father-son holiday, I totally ignored it. Because, not because I didn't like him or anything. It's because it was a meaningless holiday. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Easter. They're all these milquetoast neutral holidays that are just three special Hallmark holidays that are not real at all. It's just nothing but marketing schemes from card companies and bakeries and Marie calendars and old people restaurants.
Yeah,
exactly.
And Sears and things like that. So I mean, there has to be at least one day of the year where we buy Dad some new clothes or something. Because Lord knows Dad doesn't get anything the rest of the year. Mom takes all the money and spends it on the kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So to that mother, we say, go right for it, darling. if your father, if your husband, boyfriend, whatever, is wanting to be in your child's life and is not their father, let them in. Because you probably,
yeah,
5 months,
exactly.
You trust the guy. And it's not like she's going to take the advice and say that next year he won't be around. Of course she thinks he'll be around next year. You can't go there. You just assume they're going to stick around. And that about does it.
Exactly.
For this The Fabulous D Show Bad Father's Day. Unfortunately, our favorite daddies, Mac and Cheddar, are not on tonight following us on Wild Bunch Radio, so tune in to your preferred channel, your wildbunchradio.com, your rainbowmixradio.com, to listen for more fabulous radio now. But we must bid you adieu. Thank you, Vanilla Child.
Thank you, Dee. Have a good week.
And you too.
Goodbye, everybody.
I will see you next week, where we'll talk about something else.
I will be here with bells on, literally.
Fabulous. I'll be waiting to hear those bells. And thank you, everyone, in wildbunchchat.com. As always, you can find everything about The Fabulous D Show and The Fabulous D and The Fabulous Vanilla Child at theartistd.com for downloads, iPods, everythingables, Skypeables. We can, you know, we're on iTunes now. Get us there. Thank you for listening. This is The Artist D for June 19th, 2011, Father's Day. Good night.
So what now?
I think I want to go home.
Me too. Well then, let's finish the shows and go home.